Welcome to Scripture, verse by verse. My name is Michael Moret. This is our 26th study through the book of Genesis. And we come today to Genesis chapter 27, and we begin our study in verse 28. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we are about to read and study. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, we pick up our study in Genesis chapter 27, verse 30. And let's pick up right where we left off. It reads, "Now it happened, as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting." God has future plans for Jacob. However, if Esau and Jacob run into each other, the only future Jacob has is the grave, because Esau would have killed him. So God allows Jacob to get out of there in just the nick of time. 31. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father, and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, that your soul may bless me." Esau enters, and this is a very solemn occasion. His father is scheduled to speak the word of God and grant Esau the family blessing. In verse 32 it says, "And his father Isaac said to him, 'Who are you?' And so he said, 'I am your son, your firstborn Esau.'" And that was a surprise question from his father. Who else would be coming in, announcing that he has meat for his father, the meat that his father ordered? Strange question. 33. "Then Isaac trembled exceedingly and said, 'Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I ate all of it before you came, and I have blessed him, and indeed he shall be blessed.'" Isaac had his own agenda instead of God's agenda, and it backfired. And he knows now that God overruled his scheme and made sure that Jacob got the blessing. Verse 34. "When Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry, and said to his father, 'Bless me also, O my father.'" When Esau heard his father say that someone else got the blessing and that it could not be taken back, he let loose with a bitter cry. 35. "But he said, 'Your brother came with deceit and has taken away your blessing.'" They didn't have to hire a private eye to find out who did it either. It was Jacob, the crafty one. 36. "And Esau said, 'Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing.' And he said, 'Have you not reserved a blessing for me?'" Well, you know, that isn't exactly true. Jacob did not take Esau's birthright. Esau did not care about it, remember? So he sold it for a bowl of stew. So this isn't exactly true. 37. "Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, 'Indeed, I have made him your master and all his brethren. I have given to him as servants. With grain and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?'" The blessing wasn't magical. It's just that Isaac is a father in the messianic line. And because of that, his blessing carried with it the authority of God. When he spoke that official blessing, he spoke the word of God, and God does not go back on his word. That's why it could not be retracted. And by the way, in verse 36, when I said that what Esau said was not exactly true, I wasn't suggesting that there was an error in the Bible. Esau was not speaking the truth, and God recorded that lie accurately. That is all that I meant. wanted to clarify that. 38. And Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me, me also, O my father." And Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Notice that Esau is only concerned about the blessing. He did not care if his father had another birthright that he could give him. He didn't want that birthright because it came with responsibility, spiritual responsibility. The blessing, oh sure, he'll take that, because that would give him a bigger inheritance. He is a man of the world. 39. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, "Behold, your dwelling shall be of the fatness of the earth, and of the dew of the heaven from above." There isn't much of a blessing left for Esau. He says, "Your descendants will not live in a fertile land." And they did not live in a fertile land. The nation Edom came from Esau, and they lived in the desert. Verse 40, "By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. And it shall come to pass, when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck." Esau's descendants did serve Jacob's descendants, the Israelites, for many years. And the descendants of Esau did live by their swords. They prospered materially by conquering weaker people. 41. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, "The days of mourning for my father are at hand. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." Esau plans to wait until after his father dies. Then he will kill Jacob. And since there are no other sons, Esau will get all the inheritance. Verse 42, "And the words of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, 'Surely your brother Esau comforts himself concerning you by intending to kill you.'" Everyone needs something to look forward to. For Esau, the thing that kept him going is, "I'm going to kill my brother." And so Esau lives for revenge. Well, Rebekah, his mother, found out about it. 43. "Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran." Jacob and his mother did evil, and it has led to trouble, and it has led to fear. Jacob has to run for his life. You know, the Bible warns us not to do evil, thinking that good will come from it, because it won't. Not in the long run, it will not. 44. "And stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away." Yeah, that few days or that little while turned out to be 20 years. And you know what? These two did not get away with their sin. While Jacob was gone, his mother Rebekah died. Jacob was her favorite son, and she never saw him again. They did not get away with their sin. 45. "Until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forgets what you have done to him." Stop there for a second. Remember when Rebekah told Jacob, "Don't worry, if you get caught, I will take the curse. I will take the consequences." Well, now it's, "You better get out of here, Jacob, until your brother forgets what you did to him." When a person sins, they will live with the consequences and the guilt. No one else can do that for them. Verse 46. "And Rebekah said to Isaac, 'I am weary of my life because of these daughters of Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth, like these who are the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me?'" Well, as an excuse to get Jacob away from Esau, Rebekah says, "Isaac, we can't let Jacob marry one of these unsaved women. We have to send him 500 miles away to the place where your father's servant found me." Chapter 28, verse 1. "Then Isaac called Jacob and blessed him and charged him and said to him, 'You shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan.' And no one should think that Isaac was being arrogant either by saying that. If the Canaanites overheard this conversation, they might think, well, I guess you guys think you're too good for us. But no, that's not the issue. The issue is obedience to God. God has made it clear a believer should not marry an unbeliever. 2. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, your mother's father, and take yourself a wife from there of the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. This command may have been a relief to Jacob. He knows his brother Esau is out to kill him, so this command to go 500 miles away and find a wife came at a perfect time as far as he is concerned. Verse 3, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and multiply you, that you may be an assembly of peoples, and give you the blessing of Abraham to you and your descendants with you, that you may inherit the land in which you are a stranger, which God gave to Abraham. Isaac had tried to give this messianic blessing to Esau, and he gave it to Jacob by mistake. Here Isaac repeats the blessing. This time he gives it to Jacob on purpose. Verse 5, so Isaac sent Jacob away, and he went to Padan Aram to Laban the son of Bethuel, the Syrian, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. Remember Laban from several studies back? A couple of chapters ago I told you that he had dollar signs in his eyes. Jacob travels 500 miles to visit Uncle Laban and to look for a wife. And wait till you see what will happen when he gets there. Verse 6. Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Padan Aram to take himself a wife from there. And that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, you shall not take a wife from the daughters of Canaan. And remember, Esau had already grieved his parents by marrying a couple of those Canaanite women. Verse 7, and that Jacob had obeyed his father and his mother and had gone to Padan Aram. Esau knew that his brother Jacob was pleasing to their parents by looking for a believer to marry. Verse 8, also Esau saw that the daughters of Canaan did not please his father Isaac. So Esau went to Ishmael and took Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebajoth, to be his wife, in addition to the wives he had. And so, in sort of a twisted, unbiblical way, Esau appears to be trying to do what is right. He adds one more wife to his collection, but this one is a descendant of Abraham. Esau wants a wife that his parents can approve of. There may be hope for Esau yet. Verse 10, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And later we will find out that Jacob left alone with nothing but a shepherd's staff and maybe enough provisions to make it to the next settlement. Verse 11, so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of that place and put it at his head, and he lay down in that place to sleep. This certain place is about 40 miles from home. 40 miles on a camel in one day, that is moving. I bet Jacob was in a hurry to get away from his brother. And we're going to see what happened next time as Jacob lays down and sleeps. We'll pick up our study in verse 12. And until then, this is Michael Moret. Thanks for joining me. So long, everyone.